from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father, we come before you, Lord, just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you and praise you for waking us up this morning, Lord. Thank you for just blessing us with your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in this place on today. Use this speaker on this morning, Heavenly Father, to touch these, your sons and your daughters, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you would look down upon our pastor right now, Lord, and Dina in their travels, Heavenly Father. Continue to have your way with us, Lord. Empower us, Lord, that we would be your body, Lord, that we would do the things that you would have us to do, Lord, that we would be not only hearers of the word, but doers, Lord. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins, Lord. Clean us up, Heavenly Father, so we would go out and do your will. In Jesus' name, the people of God said amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've reached a few points in my life where if God didn't show up, it just wasn't going to happen. The situations in my life, the obstacles, the tragedies, whatever, just a point of desperation where it's like, God, I need you. I don't need money. I don't need a new car. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need I need you. I don't know if you've been there before where you faced a situation where your back was against the wall, you had nobody to turn to, no friends around, your parents weren't around, your roommates weren't around, where it was just you and God, and you were just on your face saying, God, I need you. I don't need anything else. I just need you. Has anybody been there? Just me? What I want you to do while we sing this song, come on up. I want you to think of that moment, or think of those moments where you were just so desperate and you said, God, if you don't work it out, it's not going to be worked out. I can't do it on my own. I absolutely need you. Think of that moment. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to think of that moment. And then we're going to sing this song and you're going to join in with us. Because y'all all the gospel choir too. You just don't have on robes. That's okay. So think of that moment. Think of that moment. You got that moment? That time where your friend was tragically killed? That time when you found out your parents were getting divorced? That time when you got a letter from financial aid saying that you owe $3,000? Think of that moment. Think of that moment. And I think God just needs to get us to a place sometimes where we have to say, God, you're all I need. Every breath you breathe through me, you're all I need. Let your rivers flow through me. You're all I need. You're all I need. So think of that moment as we sing this song.
Thank you.
Lord, for our need of our great God. This morning we have a local pastor, Pastor Eli Loera, who's coming to us from Christian Temple. He wanted me to share that he's proudly the husband of Miss Annie of 17 years, and he has 3 kids, and he's a graduate of the Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary. So as he comes and shares what God has put on his heart for us this morning, may we be open to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to him, to us, for a time such as this. So as he comes forth at this time, can we give him a hand?
Amen. Good morning. Thank you for coming. You probably looked at the schedule and said, who's this crazy Hispanic guy? I just want to tell you that it's an honor and a privilege to be here. Angeles and Dina asked me to come in December, and I told them no. And somehow I got put on a deal. Because it's intimidating talking to y'all, because I don't drink Starbucks coffee. I don't text message. I don't do too much on the internet. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to relate to you. So to relate to you, I'm going to talk about sex this morning. No, I'm not. But I want to talk to you about the most important decision that you'll make in your life. Other than following Jesus Christ, the most important decision you make in your life is not going to be what school you attend. It's not going to be what your major is. Other than following Jesus Christ, the most important decision that you make in your life is not going to be what your major is. I'm going to tell you today, the most important decision other than following Jesus Christ that you will make in your life is who you marry. Now, if you were considering getting married and you've been praying to the Lord, Lord, speak to me. And you've been waiting for the writing on the wall. I'm here to tell you today, the Lord says to you, get married. Now, somebody just like, is he like serious? I'm dead serious. The greatest thing I ever did. I've jumped out of an airplane 45 times, 3 times into combat while being shot at. I helped liberate 2 South American countries, fought drug wars. I met presidents and kings. I've spoke for Promise Keepers. I've done all these things, and none of it compares to the woman that I'm married to for the last 17 years. It is the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. So I want to share with you some principles from the Word of God on how to look for somebody to marry. Now, how many of you, I want you to be honest. If you've been looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, I want you to say amen. So you've been looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right. How many of you ladies, this should be a high-pitched amen, kind of like that, I don't know how you dudes hit that one, but I kind of had trouble. Right there, I was lip-syncing. But when I ask this, I want to hear a high-pitched amen. How many of you ladies are honestly looking for Mr. Right? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this should be a lower-pitched amen. How many of you men here, how many of you honestly are looking for Mrs. Right? Say amen. Praise the Lord. One brother is more desperate than the other. Don't worry. Don't worry. They'll be desperate someday, too. I met my wife in children's church. She was still in diapers, and I was in preschool children's church, and we've known each other our whole life and went to church together, and one day got married. And we got married before we went to college. My wife had been in, she had been in college 1 year. I just got out of the military, and that's weird. Ex-Special Forces guy preaching inside a Mennonite church. When I went to the Mennonite Seminary, after my first day in class, they had a meeting of the faculty and administration of whether or not I got to come back. So I am the antithesis to everything you've probably heard in the time you've been at FPU. But one thing I think we can agree on is that you need to get married and who you marry now. You guys know the Bible says some people are called to celibacy or some people are called to and it's funny how many wives think they were called to celibacy, but there's a lot of people that think they're called to that. And you know what? Praise the Lord. Some people think Paul wasn't married, but I know he was married because he said, Lord, I know this is the thorn in my side you've given me. So I know that Paul was married, and I'm glad you're tracking. That's good. But I look at this, and it's a great decision. My wife and I, she had went through college for 1 year. We're from a place called Tri-Cities, Washington. I'm from Pasco, Washington. And she went to Eastern University for 1 year, and then we started Northwest College together. She was in her second year, I was in my first year. And people told us, don't get married, you won't make it through school. I'm gonna tell you, we had it so good in school. We did so much better than the other students that were single because they had to worry about their social life and they had to worry about, you know, about that part of it. My wife and I didn't have to do that. We were already married. Helped each other with homework, cheated on tests together. I helped her cheat on all the Bible stuff. She helped me cheat on like science and math stuff. We had a little system. A cough was A. If I touched my ear, it was, you know, and I foot a tap of the foot. It was great. It's not cheating because the Bible says we were one. Amen. She typed all my papers, and I dictated all of hers. I think I minored in early childhood development because she was a teacher and I was a pastoral. So now y'all going to go back and start cheating. You'll get married just to cheat. I hope not. Open your Bibles with me to Ruth chapter 2 if you have them. Marriage is great. Some couples grow old together, and my wife and I, we see these elderly couples, we live right here on Peach and Butler. Some of you that jog on Butler, jog right by my house, right by my house. I'm like five houses from the corner of Peach on Butler. We just watch people as they walk by, and sometimes as we're walking, because we walk these streets, and we see these elderly couples, we say, we can't wait to get to be as elderly as these people and still be together and still love one another. And there was this couple that grew old together, and one day they were sitting on the couch like older couples do watching television. When the wife looks over at his husband and says, she leans over and tells him, you know, you don't sit close to me like you used to. So the little old man stood up and he moved over to the side and he sat next to her and she said, wow. She goes, you don't put your arm around me like you used to. So the little old man, all arthritic and shaking, puts his arm around her. She says, you don't kiss me like you used to. So he reached over and, you know, he gummed her on the cheek there and gave her a kiss. And she goes, you don't bite my ear like you used to. To this, he jumped and went running to the room. She goes, wait a minute. That's not what I'm talking about. Take it easy. He goes, no, I'm going to get my teeth. Now, that's love. That's love. Then there's a couple that was in an accident, and the wife immediately died at the scene, went to heaven, and the archangel Gabriel, as she got to the gate, says, it's really easy. If you're going to enter heaven, you just have to spell one word. She goes, what's that word? And she tells Gabriel, what's that word? And Gabriel says, the word is love. So she says, L-O-V-E. She goes, welcome, my child. Just after that, Gabriel goes on break. So she's watching the gate when her husband comes up. He died, I guess, in the hospital. He gets there, and he goes, oh, dear, good to see you. She goes, yeah, it's really easy to get into heaven. You just have to spell a word. He goes, great, what is it? She goes, Czechoslovakia. That's love. Looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right is not as important as being Mr. and Mrs. Right. Are you Mr. Right? And are you? Look at the person sitting next to you. Does that look like Mr. or Mrs. Right? Look at him. I want you to look at. Does that look like Mr. or Mrs. Right? If you think you are sitting next to Mr. or Mrs. Right this morning, I want you to tell them you look like Mr. or Mrs. Right. Tell them right now. Hey, guys, if a girl just told you you look like Mr. Right, you better pounce. Right now, you better tell her what you're doing later. The only difference between the guys here that don't have a girlfriend and the guys that have a girlfriend is some of them are crazy enough to actually tell a girl they like them. Have courage. Don't be scared. The Bible says the Lord will always be with you if you have courage. Now, if she drops you, just move on to the next one. You know what? One out of ten's got to say yes. Some of you have been looking for Mr. Right. And you looking for Mr. Right and can't find him because you Mrs. Wrong. Now look at the person sitting next to you. Now don't tell him. Don't tell him. But could you be sitting next to Mr. Right? Because you know what? Anybody hook up with you, their life's going to be all tore up. Why? Because you're tore up from the floor up. Look at you. But what I want you to realize this morning is it's not as important as looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right, but be Mr. and Mrs. Right. Now in Ruth chapter 2, I'm just going to go quickly through this and I'll be done really quick. What happens here is I want you to see what Mr. Right looks like and what Mrs. Right looks like. And then don't go the rest of the day looking to see if you can find that person. See if you can be this person. See if you can be Boaz, Mr. Right, and see if you can be Ruth, Mrs. Right. Are you tracking? Say amen. Amen. This is easy stuff. Verse 1. Now, what has happened is Ruth has become a widow. Her mother-in-law has become a widow, and they've come to live in Israel as two widows with nobody to take care of them and with no means because they're widows. Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. Now, Boaz is introduced right here in the second chapter of Ruth as the man that if you've ever grown up in church, you know he's going to end up marrying Ruth and they're going to end up hooking up. But this is kind of their courtship, kind of their dating. And let me tell you something. Courtship and dating is good. My wife and I, you know, we met in children's church for 14, 15 years. We courted each other from the time we were in diapers to the time we got married when I was 21 and she was 19. Don't let anybody tell you you're too young to get married. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Because if you wait till you get all the things in life that you want to get done before you get married, it's not going to be as fun because you don't have somebody to share it with. It's funner when you have somebody to share it with. When my wife and I moved from Tri-Cities, Washington to come to this place, it was great. We had a great time. We got to a church with 17 people. Immediately, 7 left because they didn't like my Spanish. Because I started preaching in English. But I realized something. All these people wanted to hold on to a language and lose their children. They cared more about their culture than they cared about their kids. So my church went English, and right away, and we now have a predominantly Hispanic church, but it's an English-speaking church. And what ended up happening is we've had some struggles, we've had some trials, but every success we've had, my wife and I have been there together. We have shared them, graduated together. She graduated with honors. I barely graduated, but it was together. My wife right now is the Fresno Unified School Teacher of the Year for 08-09. We did it together. She didn't mention me at the acceptance speech, and I didn't let her live it down, but we did it together. We did it together. Now, Boaz is introduced into the story as the one that's going to end up hooking up with Ruth. Verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone who I find favor with." Now, she, right here, is the first lesson. If you want to be Mrs. Right, you need to be a person that's about something, that's doing something. You're not sitting around waiting for it to come to you. You're out there doing it for yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you have to necessarily be Miss Independent. I'm not saying you all have to turn into Oprah Winfrey or anybody else. But what I'm saying is you're somebody that isn't sitting around waiting for Mr. Right to show up. Mrs. Right is busy about being Mrs. Right. She's a doer. She's a doer. Now, she knew her predicament. She knew that I have a need. I need to fill it. She didn't wait around for somebody to fill her need. I'm here to tell you now, young people and old people, because I see people here that are older than me. I'm going to tell you something. Don't take offense to that if you're older. But if you're 40, you're old. Now, I look at this, and what I want you to see is this. She went out to take care of herself. She knew, I'm in a jam here. I'm in a situation where I need to take care of business. She didn't sit around and in the house and wait for some man to come find her. She went out and started taking care of herself, and that's when the man came into her life. It wasn't while she was waiting around combing her hair 100 times on each side. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to find Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, if you don't leave the house. If you don't leave the barracks. Oh, you guys don't have barracks. What do you call them? Dorms. Sorry. At least I didn't say if you don't leave the block, the cell block. But if you don't leave the dorm, you ain't never going to find Mr. Right, and you ain't never going to be Mrs. Right. So he said, "Let me go find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Now, the Bible says, "as it turned out." Let me tell you something. It wasn't as it turned out. God made sure that Mrs. Right ran into Mr. Right. Why? Because she was out doing something. When you're busy, especially about the things that God has led you into doing, you will run into the person that God has intended for you. But if you out doing what you ain't supposed to be doing, don't blame God when things go wrong. Somebody came into my office and said, "This woman, she made nothing but trouble." Like, where'd you find her? I found her at Chiquitos. It used to be right here, or Chiquitas, whatever it's called. There used to be a nightclub right here. I don't know. I think it's closed, but y'all know that there used to be a nightclub right across the street here called Chiquitas. See, you got to have rhythm to go to that club. You guys don't know about that club, but there was a club right there. Y'all know about Cabo Wabo or something. I don't know, but God's closing all the clubs. They're both closed, but he found her at Chiquitas, and they came to me having problems with the lady. Like, you were somewhere you had no business being at. Now you're having problems, and you're coming to me. And you know what? Don't blame God. You got yourself into that mess. But Ruth was doing what she was supposed to be doing, where she was supposed to be at, and God made sure she ran into Mr. Right. Verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. He says, "The Lord be with you." I want to tell you something. Mr. Right loves the Lord. Mr. Right loves the Lord. Why? He says, "The Lord be with you." Now, these are his workers. I don't know if you've ever worked for somebody. I don't know if you've ever had a boss. I didn't have too many bosses that walked in the morning and said, "The Lord be with you." In fact, even in the church, I don't think I've had bosses that walk in like that. It's like, "Where you been? Running kind of late." Did you get this done? This man walks into his place of employment and says, the Lord be with you, and throws a blessing on everybody. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to be Mr. Right, you have to be a person who knows the Lord, who serves God, and is a man after God's heart, just like Boaz was. Now, he is a respectful man. I'm going to tell you something, ladies, or man, I'm talking to Mr. Right. Mr. Right, well, ladies, listen. If you don't treat people right, if he don't treat his family right, if he don't treat his mama right, if he don't treat his sisters right, if he don't get along with people in the dorm, let me tell you something. If he ain't treating other people right, he ain't going to treat you right. Mr. Right is polite. Mr. Right is polite. He's polite. I'm going to tell you something. If he's rude to everybody, don't be surprised when he's rude to you. If you're going to be Mr. Right, you need to be a little bit more polite. You need to be a little more friendly to be around. Now, if a man swears at others, if a man curses others, if a man would even be violent with others, what's to stop him from being violent or cursing Mrs. Right? I'm going to tell you, he's going to treat you the way he treats everybody else. They called back to him, the Lord bless you. Think about that. His workers loved him. When he said, the Lord bless you, the workers came back with, the Lord bless you. I'm going to tell you what. I worked in the military, and I worked in civilian circles. And usually when the boss said something, as soon as he walked through the office, he closed his door. Every one of us had something, some kind of gesture or something. I wasn't always a Christian that wasn't too pleasing or wasn't too, because he was a jerk. This guy must be good. Why? Because the people around him actually like him, and they actually throw a blessing back at him. Watch how Mr. or Mrs. Right, watch how Mr. Right interacts with other people. I'm going to tell you something. You want to be Mr. Right? When you walk into the room, everybody say, hey, what's up? When you walk through the door, everybody should say, hey, Norm. That's the kind of person you should be. Now, if your name's not Norm and they say Norm, then there's a problem. But when you walk into the room and people greet you, you know what? That's cool. That Mrs. Right seeing that, she's like, look, everybody's friendly to him. Now, Boaz walks in. They greet him. He greets them back. Boaz asks the foreman of his harvesters, who's that young woman over there? Now, this is important. Who's that one? Yeah. Now, he's got a bunch of workers. He owns a lot of land, but he notices Ruth. Why do you think he noticed her? Why do you think he noticed Ruth? Now, when we covered this in my church, and I think we covered this Bible study like in November or December, and I pulled it out for you guys. He says, whose young woman is that? You know what? Everybody, all the men in my church said, she must have looked good. For him to notice, she must have been fine. Now, I worked in the field. If you worked in any kind of field work, like agricultural work, I want you to raise your hand. There's a lot of Mr. Wrights and Mrs. Wrights that just raised their hands right there. I'm going to tell you something. When we would get out to the asparagus fields or the cherry orchard or the apple orchard, in fact, I ended up picking asparagus, my family, next to my wife's family when we were growing up. Don't nobody look good at 4:30 in the morning when the sun is coming up out in the field. Nobody looks good. All the ladies would have these wraps around their head because they didn't comb their hair in the morning, but it keeps the dust and the dirt out. So they have this. Ain't nobody wearing Max Factor or any other kind of Raybelline or Maybelline. Nobody got no makeup on. Kind of like some of you guys look at first period. We wearing our worst clothes. You wearing the worst clothes you have because you're out in the field and you're working. Did he notice her because she looked good? All the men said yes. But the ladies that were in the room who knew field work, and in my church there's a lot of ladies that didn't know field work, we all came to the conclusion that no, I don't think it was about her looks. There was something that stood out about her. Maybe it was the way she was working. Now, I'm going to say something right now. No, I'm going to save it for later. The foreman replied, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She came this morning and said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvester. Now, listen to this. When she got there, she walked up to them and said, can I please walk around behind your people and take some food for me and my mother-in-law? Now, I said Mr. Wright was polite. Well, so is Mrs. Wright. Mrs. Wright has manners. Mrs. Wright wasn't sitting there saying, I'm owed this. She didn't walk up to say, y'all have to let me do this. She didn't walk in with an attitude and say, well, you better do this. You know, I was watching something the other day, and the young man and the young woman were getting to the car. It was a show on TV, and the young girl goes up to the car, and the guy walks around, and she just sits there like this. He opens the door, looks over the hood, and goes, "What?" She goes, "You need to open my door. I'm a lady." And he came around, opened the door, slammed the door, and just said, "This is going to be a great date." Now, you should expect to be treated like a lady. You should expect to be treated like a lady. But I want you to see is how she went about her business. She had every right. They are commanded by their law. In the law of God, it was commanded for them to let her do it. She didn't have to ask. All she had to do was go out there, get behind the people, and start collecting. But you know what? She didn't do that. She walked up and she said, "May I please glean behind the people?" I want you to see, Mrs. Wright is polite. And I want you to tell you, I want to tell you something. I've heard some speech come out of ladies today. I live in Southeast Fresno. I lived on 9th and McKenzie. My church is on 4th and Washington. That's between Belmont and Tulare on 4th Street. I live in the straight up, I don't want to offend anybody because you might live over there. No, you don't. I live in the hood straight up. The Brookings 22 report that came out, the 22 poorest areas, concentrated areas of poverty, 22 of the highest ones were here in Fresno. Mine's number three. But I've heard some things come out of some people. I came out the church. My church used to be where the nursery's at, so I had the windows along where all the houses were. And I remember one day this lady came out, and she's talking to her child. "You bleeping little bleeping, get your bleeping bleeping bleep in here. What the bleep's wrong with you, bleeper?" Now, just fill in the blanks. And here comes a little three-year-old son in a diaper running inside the house, and she smacks him and said, "Get your bleeping and bleeping and bleeping." That was bad, but I was at Walmart the other day, and there was a lady there that was talking to her teenage daughter and telling her to bleep the bleep up. And I thought that was a phenomenon that just happened in Southeast Fresno, but the other day I was at Fashion Fair Mall. No, Sierra Vista Mall. It was in Clovis, Sierra Vista Mall. And there was people there saying bad words. I'm going to tell you something. Mrs. Wright doesn't have a foul mouth. I don't know where it became cool for ladies to like just drop F-bombs. I don't know where it became cool for ladies to talk like sailors. I don't know where that happened. And I hope that's not happening here. But ladies, something good should come out of your mouth. Something good. I mean, hopefully, because you don't think we're listening. Guys are, I'm not listening, I'm married. But these guys, they're listening. If you're married and you're listening, something's wrong. But sometimes you can't help but hear it. Because they're sitting there at the store and the kid wants something. And mom just starts cussing out the kid. But she was polite. Now, she went into the field, he said, and has worked steadily from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Mrs. Wright is hardworking. She's the opposite of lazy. Now, I want you to see that she was able to take care of herself, and she was able to take care of her mother-in-law. She was hardworking. Now, you, Mr. Wright, sitting here today, you see Mrs. Wright, you have her in class, and she's always turning in papers late, waiting till the last minute to get it done. If she can't take care of herself, she can't take care of you. The same thing goes for Mr. Wright. I know I'm talking about Mrs. Wright because we're talking about Ruth, but let me tell you something. You need to watch their work ethic, their work. What are they doing? Are they lazy? I'm on your campus a lot. And some of you walk like this. What does that tell me? Just by watching somebody walk. Just by watching their walk. Ruth ain't like that. Ruth is not a kind of person that's lazy. She's out there working. She ain't waiting for the things to come to her. She's out there getting busy. Why? Because she's Mrs. Wright. Boaz said, this is verse 8, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls." And listen, Mr. Wright takes care of Mrs. Wright. I'm going to tell you something, girls. This is so funny. This happened in my church the other day. One of the teenagers, he's graduated, and he's going to some school in Reedley, and I don't want to say no names. Going to school over there, and he hasn't got a license, hasn't got a job, and he's telling the brother in my church, he goes, "Hey, I'm going to take my girlfriend after church. We'll go somewhere, and a dad, can I borrow like $40? I looked at him, and I said, "Your dad's got to support you, your mom, your sister. He's got to be faithful at this church, and now he's got to support your girlfriend too? I told him, you need to get a job." I haven't seen him since, so maybe I should call him. Maybe I offended him on that day, but what I tell you something is, If he's got to borrow money from mom and dad to take you out, he ain't Mr. Wright. Ouch. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Because what's he going to do when you get married? What's he going to do? Is he going to go tell dad, I need money to pay the light bill. Dad, we need money. The kids need shoes. You know, and there's an epidemic in my church. I don't know if it's happening throughout the rest of the city, but I got a lot of parents raising their grandkids and their own kids who are married living in their house. I told Ashley Sorensen, I told our mayor last Thursday, I said, you just talking about the homeless. I got a lot of homeless people in my church, and they have a home. What are you talking about? I go, they're grown kids that lost their house living with mom and dad because they can't afford a house, they can't afford rent. She goes, well, that ain't homeless. The government. I go, you ask the parents, they said, these are my homeless, no good for nothing kids. Now you guys are like, well, we're getting an education. We ain't going to have that problem. You better hope you don't. Watch the field, he tells her. Now, what's interesting, don't go anywhere. When Mrs. Wright is right, Mr. Wright says, here, stay here. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. That's what Mr. Wright says. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. Wow. Mr. Wright will take care of you, and Mr. Wright will provide security for you. If he asks you out and you need security to go out with him, he's not Mr. Wright. He is not Mr. Wright if you got to get security. FPU, little car guy, yeah. Yeah, little golf cart thing, yeah. I'm gonna be over at the park. What's your name? Yeah, can you, like, drive by every few minutes? I'm going to make sure I'm okay. If you got to ask for security, he ain't providing it. He ain't providing it. If I hear a bump and a thump in the middle of the night, I do not go and tell my wife, you better get up and check on that. I've timed myself. I get to my gun and load it and cock it, and I'm ready. It's in a safe. Oh, wait, I just scared the Mennonites. I'm sorry. I go to the dresser and open the Bible because I'm going to share with the crook that's breaking into my house in less than a minute. Hey, when I lived on 9th and McKenzie, I slept with a loaded gun under my pillow. That's what almost got me thrown out of MBBS. I had a loaded gun under the pillow. I had Voodoo Dog, one of the leaders of the gangbang of the Fresno Bulldogs, living on one corner, and the other dog living, and they were always shooting at each other. And they went by my house. I had to be careful. But I have some ushers that are barely saved. I went and talked to them, and it all stopped. Every church needs some barely saved ushers. If he cannot provide security for you, he's worthless. He says, whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. Mr. Wright is sensitive and caring and provides security, but also provides the things that she needs. If he ain't sensitive, something's wrong. Finally, verse 10, and I have to stop. I could have kept going, but I better stop. At this, when she heard this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. Ladies, if you want to impress Mr. Wright when he walks in the room, if you do that, now some of you more educated, sophisticated, emancipated, and immaculated, whatever ladies are looking at me like, I ain't bowing down to no man. Oh, one day, when you meet Mr. Wright, you'll bow down if he's right. I ain't gonna bow down. Yes, you will. And she bows down. I'm gonna go back because I have to finish in 2 minutes. I was gonna go back and I wanna save this to the end. When I was talking about how she looked and how her appearance was. I come here a lot. Yesterday I was here for the West Fresno Ministerial Alliance. I had my daughter with me here last year. She was half school. She was kindergarten, you go half. And so we came in here. My little daughter's walking with me through the campus. At one point, my six-year-old daughter stops and looks at me and goes, Dad, why does everybody wear pajamas to school around here? She was talking about the guy in front of us and the girl in front of us. And they're wearing pajamas. And I look at this, and yesterday my son was here, and he came with me because he goes to Manchester Gate, and they start at 9. So he came to West Fresno Ministerial with me, and we're sitting in the cafeteria. He goes, I love this school. He goes, why? He goes, because you can wear your pajamas to breakfast. He goes, this is the life. And he puts up his hands like this. He loved your cafeteria. This is what he had breakfast yesterday. He made himself a waffle, put chocolate chips in it. And then he had a bowl of Fruit Loops, a bowl of Cocoa Puffs, and an ice cream cone. His teacher really loves me. But it's not every day he gets to do that. But he gets to do that. But he asked me the same thing, and I think he heard the story. I shared it somewhere else, so he brought it up. But Mr. and Mrs. Wright, You could tell a lot by how a person walks, how they talk, and how they dress. God bless you guys. It's a pleasure being here.
As you go on this day, as we have heard how to be Mr. and Mrs. Right, and as we celebrate this time of Valentine's, I pray that you will be open to seeing how you can become that which Pastor Eli encouraged us all to think about as we search for and discern who God has for us in making, as he states, a critical decision in your life. Be blessed. Have a great weekend.